In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I use this opportunity to greet you all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today is another day for us to continue our serving. Shall we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2? He said, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with me." Lord, may you add your blessing to this word. You read it like men, but you are the author. May you expand it and grant us inspiration in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother, sister, today is another day. We lay the foundation on the essence of we actually abide in the Word of God. And we made it clear that who is a powerful person? A powerful person is not one who works miracles. A powerful person is not one who is able to, to actually manifest some kind of gift. A powerful person is not the one who is able to see actually visions. But a powerful person is the one who abides in the Word of God and do what is required of him in the Word. Because that day we saw that he said, "For many shall come unto me, that ye have done this and that and that." But he said, "I never knew thee." Hallelujah. So one thing that we have to actually get take actually notice of is that the Word of God, which is the absolute thing to a believer, must be the focus. Hallelujah. And that is a powerful person. So we can do all this, but if on the face of the Word one misses it, then it actually becomes dear to the soul. Hallelujah. So Paul actually foresaw this and saw that as how if in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, it was actually seduced into sin, the church also could also be seduced. Because when we look at the life of Samson, with all what God has actually bestowed on him, with everything that Samson could do, when the Spirit of God mightily roused through him, Samson actually went into a backsliding. And the moment Samson went into backsliding, he was actually seduced. Hallelujah. Samson was actually subdued into sin. And the moment sin came in, something actually transpired. So one target of the enemy is to get you, it is to get the church actually drifted from the Word of God. So I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as we speak on this word, may this be a caution to somebody. May this bring a revival to somebody. May this bring a hope to somebody who is on the verge of losing something, who is on the verge of going into something else. May this be a reminder to us so that we know that we carry something, and what we carry, the enemy is after. And one thing that the enemy can do to take away this thing is to seduce you and I from holding on to that thing. So when Samson, with all the mighty things that God actually brought to him, Samson thought he was so strong, so that he could not be taken off by anything. The devil didn't use a lion again. The devil only used a woman to bring down what? Samson. Samson who thought he was so strong. So, brother, sister, the journey on which we have reached is not a journey of complacency. It's not a journey that we need to actually compliment ourselves. Till that bell comes whereby we hear the Lord in the air and call up the blind and we see ourselves yonder in the heaven, we should not rest in what we are doing. Because God actually wanted, and that's why Paul says something. Paul said that he marked to us what a high calling. Until we read there, we should not be complete in ourselves. The church who actually started on the day of Pentecost, we saw that in the dark ages, whereby the church was also taken into apostasy, because Paul actually foresaw this, that as how Eve was actually seduced, he feared lest the church would also be what? Seduced. So may we stand on the ground of the word. May this word be a revival that will keep us focused on the word of God, because that is where our strength really comes from. He said, "For where cometh my help? My help cometh neither from east or west. My help cometh in the name of the Lord. My help cometh in the name of the Lord." So we saw that Samson, with all that he had, with all the strength, with all what God has actually bestowed on him, Samson looked back. And the first thing that the devil could do when he caught him was to remove his eyes. So one thing that the enemy is actually after is to remove the eyes that we have when we look at the word of God. And in the beginning, we laid the foundation that the strength of Samson was not the hair, neither the locks, but was he not actually using the razor to shave off that hair? So the moment the church shave off the revelation of Christ, the unadulterated word of God, the untouched word of God, that church becomes so powerless. That church begins to move in idolatry. That church begins to walk in a mess. Till we come up to see ourselves in the word. So you see that the word of God has been tampered by opinions of men in the dark periods. Even as we see today, opinions of men who came with greed, dogmas, traditions, and that has made that the religious system today are what they are today. And we that have come to receive this message and who are in the message, we also have to take this caution, because many today are still not turning to that light of the absoluteness, whereby we see God's word as the ultimate. Hallelujah. So when Samson lose the eyes that might see the word of God, the eyes that we must use, the lens, the spiritual lens that have to be placed on to look at the word of God was actually removed. And that is one target of the enemy, to take off that lens. And the moment that lens is being taken off, which is the word of God, because if as a seed of God, you hold your word and the word abides in you, you are going to use that word to do everything. So in your actions, in your communication, in everything that you do, you are going to consider the word. So the word of God has become an eyes an eye opening to you. So one thing that the enemy don't want is you abiding in the word. So the first thing is to remove the eyes of Samson. And the moment the eyes of Samson was removed, then the enemy trampled over him to crop him off, to do everything that he wanted to do. But God being so good, the Bible says that God will not forsake his children, his children that he has called, because he himself has ordained it. He said, "For whom I foreknow, I predestinate, and whom I predestinate, I called, and whom I called, I justified, and whom I justified, I sanctified, and put my glory on him." So for a time, that the devil who think that he has finished Samson, that is not the end. We saw that in this journey, a lot of things might go on. A lot of things might go on even in the life of a Christian. But I pray in the name of Jesus, that is not your end. That will also not be the end. God shall revive the church one more time. The church in this day shall be revived in the word of God. And that's why when we read the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 19, it said, "For the earnest expectation of the creature wait for the manifestation of the sons of God." The earnest expectation of the creature wait for the manifestation of the sons of God. So in this hour, the sons of God are waiting. When those thunders are revealed, there will be a manifestation, a revival, a quickening that will lead us through to the rapture. So right now, our prayer now is that, Lord, revive us one more time, quicken us one more time. May God start an inward revival in us. May he revive us all. May he quicken us, Lord, because up to his word, he said he will never forsake us, neither will he leave us. And we shall come and say that, he is our helper. The Lord is our helper. There is a shaking in this time, and those that will be deceived will be deceived. But the elect will never be deceived, because their faith are anchored in the word of God. And because their faith are anchored in the word of God, they will have an unchangeable faith that is unmovable in the word of God, and that cannot be shaken. Therefore, if we do this, brother, let us stand on the word. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. The power is in the unadulterated word of God. Jesus told the Pharisees, he said, ye err, because ye do not the scriptures, nor the power of God. Why? They err because ye knew not the scriptures, nor the power of God. So you see that there is a power that the bride or the wife of Jesus Christ has been restored to, and that power abide in us forever. Hallelujah. So when we study the word of God, we saw that when the enemy crop of the understanding, the revelation of the word of God, we saw that a woman who placed and that woman was able to do a living, a barley of measures of flour, and that woman who actually tampered with that barley had 3 measures of living. So you see that the moment this word, which is the food, is being leavened, it actually loses its power. And that gets everything wrong. So that is why we, in the end time message, we have to know that the word that we have actually received, if we abide by it, that is where the strength lays. And that is the, what that power that can keep us in this dying and sinful world. But the moment the revelation of it is cropped off, and we look at what is actually happening in the end time message today, whereby many are trying to use the message book even as a creed, lest we should also be deceived. But God, being so good, the Bible says that He will never forsake us, neither will He leave us. And we shall come and say that He is our helper. So may God revive us one more time in this time. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray that may He actually strengthen us. Everything that the enemy has actually taken, may it be restored. And that hair grow back again, whereby the strength is being bestowed upon us. May God bless us in our endeavors. Amen.